This week's parsha begins with the directive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is then transmitting the instructions to Aaron HaKohen with regards to the specifics and the lighting and the preparation of the menorah. Daber el Aaron ve'amarta elav beha'alotcha et haneirot el mul pnei ha-menorah ye'iru shivat haneirot. Moshe talks to Aaron and tells him, as he goes to light the candles, to ignite the flames that would illuminate the heart of the Mishkan, the candelabra, the menorah. Says the Torah immediately following, Vayas kein Aaron el mul pnei ha-menorah he'ela neirotea. Aaron does as this which he was instructed, and he lights the menorah as he was meant to. What exactly does it mean, Vayas kein Aaron? Aaron does as he was indeed instructed to do. Says Rashi in quoting the Sifri, Lehagid shvacho shel Aaron sheloshina. We are here praising Aaron at Kohen for committing himself, for following the directives and the specifics of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with regards to the lighting of the menorah. Here Aaron receives praise for having lighting the menorah according to the specifications of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not changing or altering any of those instructions. This Rashi is very difficult, the Sifri itself, very difficult to understand. Are we meant to understand that it was meritorious of Aaron and the fact that he followed the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The fact that Aaron did not change or alternate any of the instructions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave with regards to the menorah, that's reason to praise Aaron? Aaron HaKohen simply follows that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs? What is so wondrous about the fact that he does not alter any of that which he is supposed to do? Which after all, he is the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest. He does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Why do we have to sing his praise for following that which he was meant to do in the first place? The Mishnah in Avot says, Im lemadata Torah harbei al tachzik tova la'atzmecha ki lekach notzarta. If a person learns a tremendous amount of Torah, he shouldn't think that he's accomplished a wondrous feat. Why? Because that's what he was created for in the first place. Aaron HaKohen was created in order to serve as a Kadosh Baruch Hu according to the halachot, according to the details and instructions in the Mishkan. So why does he deserve our praise for doing precisely the lighting of the menorah as a Kadosh Baruch Hu told him? Very difficult to understand what this Sifri means. The Maharik explains, or attempts to explain, by saying that even the task of lighting the menorah not only involved the actual igniting of the flame itself, but it also involved the preparation of the flames, which involved the menial task of soiling one's hands by preparing the oil, by preparing the wicks. One would dirty their hands as well, or soil their hands and their clothing. Aaron said, regardless of the fact that this was part of the avoda, that I might soil my hands as well, nonetheless, I will follow the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He did not deviate from the task at hand. But even the explanation of the Maharik is very difficult to understand. It's really not foolproof. Because does this demonstrate tzidkut, righteousness, in the fact that someone certainly on the caliber of an Aaron HaKohen was willing to soil his hands, to soil his clothing, for the sake of the servitude of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's why he's worthy of praise. Of course he would soil his hands. Even the most simple person would do so if he was such instructed by a Kaddish Baruch Hu in service of the Mishkan itself. And therefore we return to the original question, what exactly does the Sifri mean? Lahagid shvacho sheloshina, to sing the praise of Aaron that he did not deviate from the instructions with regards to the lighting of the menorah itself. The Chatam Sofer of Moshe Schreiber also attempts to explain this Sifri, and he says as follows: it would have been the natural instinct for Aaron HaKohen, particularly at this juncture, to reject the avoda specifically of lighting the menorah. Why is this? The Chatam Sofer reminds us as follows. I quote you verbatim: "Ve'onam b'yom harishon shemetu banav." This day in which Aaron was dedicating the menorah, the first day in which he would light the menorah in the Mishkan, was the Bo Bayom, the same day on which he would begin his state of mourning, the 7 days of Avelut, of mourning, for his two sons, Rachmana Litzlan, Nadav ve'Avihu, who perished, who died b'korvatam eish lufnei Hashem, as is recorded in preceding Parshiot. His two sons were Niftar, they passed on. Aaron is about to begin the state of mourning, and he is given the instruction to light the menorah. Umiderech avel shelo lahadlik neirot kide'ita b'medrash eicha. The normal behavior of a mourner is not to light candles, is not to illuminate, but just the opposite. The normal behavior of someone who mourns is to dim the lights, is to extinguish the flame, much as we do on Tisha B'Av, as is customary in the Batei Knesiot, the state of mourning over the loss and destruction of our temple. We shut the lights in the Beit Knesset. Yes, we light candles to remember the neshama of those who are lost. But certainly, when we sit in a state of darkness, that is a sign of mourning, of those who are losing our loved ones. The natural inclination of Aaron should have been, I am in a state of mourning, I am depressed, I've lost my sons, I will not light the menorah. The opposite. I will not be involved in a mitzvah that is igniting flames. Because that's not the type of mood, that's not the type of reaction that I should naturally have right now. V'nehi shenitztaveh Aaron, u'min ha-mikdash lo yetzei shelo lechalel avodato. Nonetheless, Aaron was instructed, even though he's in a state of mourning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you must continue and persist with the Avodat HaKodesh. You are not to leave the confines of the Mishkan. That you have to continue. Shelo lahanicho mipnei evlo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, do not do away with the servitude of the Kohen Gadol because you are in a state of mourning. The show must go on, so to speak. Mikol makol. However, hadlakat neirot shelo hayta mutelet alav ki ksheira bezar. The lighting of the menorah was not a mitzvah that had to be done by the Kohen, and certainly not by the Kohen Gadol. It was kosher, it would have been acceptable to be done by even an average person of Am Yisrael. Aaron was not obligated to light the candles on this particular day, especially when he's in a state of mourning. Nonetheless, Aaron says, Lo Shina, he would not give up from this work. He would not deviate or detract from his responsibilities, including the lighting of the menorah. Leharot shekipel din shamayim ba'ahava. Demonstrating that he accepted the gzardin, the decision from the Almighty, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bi'ahava, with a full heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aaron HaKohen here says to Hashem, he demonstrates that regardless of all of the distractions that we might have, regardless of all of the extenuating circumstances that we might face in our life, he is not deterred. He is not obstructed from the ultimate purpose of his existence. The idea, the concept of Avodat Hashem, the servitude that he has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only that, but by Aaron going ahead and lighting the candles, it was not only demonstrative of someone committed to Avodat HaKodesh, but it was a statement that he made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says to Hashem, regardless of the fact that my two sons are no longer with me, and that I am in a terrible state of depression, ultimately, says Aaron, I recognize who is responsible for our Gzar Din. Who is responsible for what occurs in this world, as tragic as it sometimes may be. By Aaron lighting the candles, says the Chasam Sofer, he made a statement. I accept your judgment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I light these candles. Let us appreciate, Rabotai, Aaron HaKohen represents not only outstanding leadership, but Aaron HaKohen represents an entire approach, an outlook towards responsibility and towards responsiveness. In the last few weeks in Eretz Yisrael, there has been a very serious matter that I can honestly say has haunted the local Jewish community here in Israel. It is a concept or an idea that has challenged the very core of halachic process, and it is a decision that has caused the tremendous pain and anguish to one of the outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, one of the outstanding Rabbanim and scholars that we have, particularly in the religious Zionist world. Quite a few years ago, the government, or the powers that be, approached the tremendous Rav, Rav Chaim Drukman, who is not only a Talmid Chacham, an outstanding scholar and considered an expert in Talmud Yerushalmi. He is a Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Or Etzion, one of the most successful yeshivot has there in Eretz Yisrael today. What's more, he is the Rav of Bnei Akiva, the youth movement that represents the philosophical and ideological approach of the religious Zionism, Torah v'Avodah, commitment to Torah Yisrael and to Am Yisrael. Rav Chaim Drukman stands as one of the forefront fatherly figures of the world of the Dati Leumi, the religious Zionist camp, so to speak. And one of the Talmidim Muvhakim, one of the closest students to Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kuk. Nonetheless, the government approached him years ago and asked or foresaw that there was a serious problem coming on the horizon in Eretz Yisrael, because they realized that with the FSU, the former Soviet Union, there would be hordes of people who would now come to Eretz Yisrael by right of return, and many of them in actuality would not be halachically Jewish. Some say we're talking about 500,000 people, 500,000, who were not Jewish and who had to be dealt with, who had to receive what's called somehow, some handling by a Beit Din, to figure out how to undergo the process of Geirut, of conversion, if at all. Rav Chaim Drukman was asked to head up this particular responsibility, this Beit Din, this high court of law, from halachic process. And he accepted it, no doubt with altruistic reasons. The idealism, the ideology of assisting Am Yisrael and assisting Eretz Yisrael. There was certainly no personal agendas that Rav Drukman had. Well, a few weeks ago, after quite a few years of Rav Drukman dealing with these cases and being Megayer, converting many of these people who he felt were worthy to be Tachat Kanfei HaShechina, to be a part of Am Yisrael. A few weeks ago, the Beit Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim came out with a Psak Halacha in which they delegitimized and completely voided all of the Geirut, all of the conversions that Rav Drukman had foreseen, that Rav Drukman was responsible for. They paskin that the Geirus, the conversions of Rav Drukman, were not acceptable. This Beit Din did so without consultation, without talking to Rav Drukman first, without even giving or issuing a warning to Rav Drukman that they planned to do so. But what's worse, the Beit Din did so without weighing the consequences, without recognizing the repercussions or asking the question, if we do this, what exactly will be with those people who are now living amongst us in Eretz Yisrael? What will be their status? Essentially what they're doing is saying that they are no longer Jewish. They are now Goyim. What will be with their children? This question they did not ask. They did not entertain. And therefore it was a complete act of irresponsibility, insubordination and chutzpah to Rav Chaim Drukman. The efforts that a Talmid Chacham tried to infuse to help Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael. Well, interestingly enough, many Rabbanim, leaders, particularly of the Dati Leumi world, were terribly distraught with this psak that came forward and which was issued publicly. And they decided amongst them, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Yehuda Amital, both Roshei Yeshiva of Yeshiva Tar Etzion in Gush Etzion, Rav Shlomo Aviner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ateret Kohanim, who I many times quote as the forefront leader in religious Zionist world, Rav Yaakov Ariel, the chief rabbi of Ramat Gan. These Rabbanim held a public rally to show support for Rav Chaim Drukman, making a statement that such chutzpah, such a lack of derech eretz, such actions are not acceptable, not only halachically, but ethically, with regards to the behavior and the approach that one has to have for Kvod HaRabbanim. And last week, they published an interview which was conducted in one of the Aloni Shabbat, one of the Shabbat pages with the Divrei Torah that are handed out in shuls. They had an interview of Rav Drukman. And I want to share with you very briefly two things which were recorded in this interview. Rav Drukman says, HaDayanim mi Beit Din HaGadol, the judges from this Beit Din that came out against him, Einam ba'alei bayit al giyur v'lo mipiem anu chayim. They are not sole owners over the concept of conversion. We don't live exclusively according to their decision making. Psak hadin shem katvu einenu psak din. It is not acceptable how they went about deciding halachically, so to speak, in quotations, what they would do. Ech yachol dayan likvoa davar kazeh. How can a judge soundly accept and decide such a decision? V'halo me'ulam hu lo diber iti. They never came to speak with me. They never consulted with me. Kach mitnaheg dayan? This is the way a judge behaves? Lichtov psak din b'li lishmo et atzdadim? To come out with a halachic psak without weighing and measuring both sides, without sound judgment in hearing all of the various those who are involved? Hare ze resha v'lo din v'tzedek. This is wickedness, and certainly not a legitimate and sound halachic judgment. Aval achi ko'ev al hagerim, says Rav Drukman, as only a person as he, who is so sensitive, who is so moral, who is so human with regards to the plight of the people who are involved, not himself, not his own kavod, but the people who are affected. What hurts me most, he says, are the converts. Kama rishut klapei otam anashim she'avru et ha'talich v'kiblu al atzmam li'yot yehudim. How wicked this is to those people who accepted, who have gone through the painstaking process of taking upon themselves Judaism. Zumamasho not ger. It's the Isser de'oraita, the transgression of the Torah, of causing pain to a convert. Aval nireh sheze bechlal lo me'anyein otam. But it appears that these judges are not interested in human sensitivity. בוודאי שיש גרם רבים שחוששים מה יהיה איתם. אבל מבחינת האמת אין מה לדאוג. אין לאף אחד זכות ויכולת לקחת את זה מהם. No one has the right to take away Judaism from a fellow Jew. But then the interviewee asked Rav Chaim Drukman, the interviewer asked him the following question. He says to him, Kvod Arav, with my hand on my heart, you've gone through so much pain. It has caused you such discomfort, this decision of the Beit Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. Madua shelo pashut takum v'tazov. Listen to what they ask him, my friends. The interviewer asked Rav Drukman, why don't you just get up and walk away? Says Rav Drukman, Ein baya. No problem. As bo v'lo nitmodedim shum davar v'nazov hakol. Whenever we have problems, he says, let's just get up and walk away. Leave everything behind. Nazov et Medina Yisrael. Let's leave Israel et Eretz Yisrael. Let's leave the land of Israel. Ki yesh bayot? Because there are problems. Eizeh min davar zeh likanes leconsensus kedei lo litmoded v'livroch me'abayot. Since when are we supposed to be the kind of people who run in the face of confrontation, who walk out because there are hardships and difficulties? When there is something so important, so ethical, so foundational to Judaism, v'yesh anashim shepogim bo, zusi ba'al azov oto, this is reason for us to walk away from everything? Hakol naaseh leman haemet. Everything we do, says Rav Drukman, has to be done for truth. Ve'lo l'shikulim interestim shel acherim. Not based on personal agenda or personal promotion and personal interests that we might have, or based on what other people might have for us. What we do, the way we act, the way we conduct our behavior, is solely based on a moral response towards responsibility, towards the community, towards the furtherment of a cause of emet, of truth, that we believe in. This response of Rav Drukman is not merely a reply or an attempt to reason. It is not only representative of altruism, it is representative of Aaron HaKohen. Lahagid shvacho shelo shina. Aaron HaKohen is praised. Why? Because he would not change. This is who I am. This is what I believe in. This is my reason for existence. Few figures we have left amongst us in Am Yisrael. Few leaders we have left amongst us in the Jewish nation who are willing to say, Lahagid shvacho shelo shina. My dear friends, it is up to all of us to understand and to learn that we do not run, we do not hide, we believe as a Jewish people in stepping up to the plate. And this is precisely the approach that assures of sound leadership,
and a strong and resilient people. Let us pray that the day will come when not only the Rabbanim and not only our leaders, but all of Am Yisrael will follow the mantra of the Aaron HaKohen, the Rav Chaim Drukman that we have of today, the Aaron of yesterday that still exists amongst us to this very day. And we can look forward to when we can approach the constructive and the positive attitude of the menorah to illuminate the flames in the heart of the Mikdash, by which we can all proclaim as one, Vayas Kain Aharon. Shabbat Shalom.